Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. So glad to have you on this journey with us today. Our topic is housing. There is an enormous amount of pain in the housing market right now, and many of you have written and asked us to deal with this topic, and I've invited Sharon Epps to the studio with me. Sharon is Executive Vice President of Content and Media, as well as an expert in the area of helping people with personal financial issues. Sharon, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You're becoming a frequent guest.
You know, I enjoy having the opportunity to engage with the listeners on these issues that I've really seen many hundreds of families deal with over the last 10 to 15 years.
I think it's going to be a very helpful program, and there are lots of questions in our inbox. Why don't you start with number one?
Well, this one says, I heard your top five trends for 2010, and I have a question regarding the wisdom of selling our house in order to completely be out of debt. My husband and I have two young children under the age of four, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. We're homeschooling, so I'll not be going back to work for the foreseeable future. We bought our first home in 2008 and still owe about $148,000 on it. We have no other debt and lived on a strict cash-only budget. We have about 2 months' worth of living expenses saved in addition to the first $1,000 we saved in our emergency fund. Our mortgage payment is about 30% of our budget, and that doesn't include maintenance or utility. Rental prices are somewhat higher than mortgage prices in our area. Considering the direction our economy is taking, do you think it'd be wise for us to sell our house and rent in order for us to be completely debt-free?
Well, there is a lot to that question, Sharon, but there's also one more gotcha here, and this listener asked to remain anonymous, and here's why. Go ahead and share that.
She says, this idea would be very, very unpopular with my husband, so I'm running it past you first to avoid a potentially unnecessary argument. Thank you so much for your program. I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate it and how much I've learned.
Well, I want you to avoid an unnecessary argument, so my advice is to be sure that you go into this conversation with your husband with the desire to be on the same page, to be united. The Lord said He takes two and makes them one, and this is a very important area. When you make a major financial decision that you're together, and I actually prefer from the numbers you've given us that you remain in your house and establish a plan to pay off your mortgage. Don't panic. I know the economy is uncertain and you're fearful right now, but God did not give us a spirit of fear, so we should never make hasty financial decisions because we're fearful of the future. So be cautious, be wise, be frugal, and get on the same page with your husband. And Sharon, I know from your experience you're going to have some advice to add to that one as well, and we're going to do that when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and He says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, we're taking questions today, especially about housing. And that last one was very important because so many people are concerned about the future. And they're wondering, do I sell? Do I rent? What's best? They want to avoid a potential train wreck in the future. You probably saw that a little bit differently than I did. What were your insights to that question?
You know, I just had some practical ideas. This woman indicated that they already had 2 months of living expenses saved. And first of all, just congratulations. That
Absolutely.
Is a wonderful place
That's
to start.
That's a huge step. You're far better off than the majority of people.
But one of the greatest ways to ensure that you'll stay out of debt is to continue to grow that margin. And we really recommend from anywhere from 3 to 6 months. So I would encourage her to evaluate with her husband the possibility that they may grow that at least to 3 months. Just go from 2 months until three. And then secondly, if they agree that paying off their mortgage is one of their main goals, then there's really two things that they can do that will really help. The first one is be sure and manage your own prepayment plan. There are a lot of companies out there today that will help you prepay, but you have to actually commit to a certain amount every month, and it gives up your flexibility in managing your budget. And then the second thing is develop a surplus plan. I don't know if you've thought about this, but God sometimes gives us unplanned or unexpected money that can really be used to achieve these goals that we have in our hearts, and in fact, things that He's put on our hearts to do. And a surplus plan just means that I plan in advance that any extra dollars that the Lord gives me, I know exactly where they're going to go. And in this instance, you may choose for that surplus to go straight to your mortgage.
Well, Sharon, as I listen to your answer, it's obvious that you're recommending that she follow a very clear plan to accomplish multiple goals, one that's set out in our Crown Money Map. But I hear something else, and that's a person who is fearful, feeling very insecure, and she doesn't think her husband is going to understand that. So she feels like she's got to make her husband understand. But what would make this far better, this conversation to be far more successful, in my view, is if she were to say to her husband, I need you to understand that right now I'm just really afraid, and I'm security-oriented, and you're not nearly as security-oriented as I am. How can we come together on the same page? And here's a plan that if we both commit to it, we can do this together.
I think that's a wonderful approach, as well as approaching it from the standpoint of creating more margin in our lives, not just in the house, but in our overall financial situation so that we're prepared no matter what comes.
Sharon, this next question really gets to me. She writes, Dear Chuck, we're a financial wreck. Very transparent, isn't she? I'm unemployed. Our credit card debt is right under $4,000. We're currently behind one payment on our first mortgage, and our property taxes are late as well. We have a 19-year-old son. We're assisting in college. We're praying and seeking help from our lender and a third party. Here's my question. Do you believe there's ever a time to walk away from your home? If so, when? And if not, why? Well, I want to thank you for writing and being so transparent. I'm sure many people listening today can absolutely relate to the financial pressure and stress that you're feeling. You're stuck in a bind. You're living beyond your means. Obviously, you can't keep up with your obligations. And you have a son you dearly love and want to help through college. So the easy way out for you is to walk away from the home. But that is not the right way out. You know, when you're faced with making a difficult financial decision, use this simple rule. Do what is right. If you'll just do what is right and accept the consequences, the Lord will honor that. So don't walk away from your home. I don't think there's ever a good decision to walk away. In fact, I'm going to say something that sounds very difficult, but it's better to walk away from the obligation you feel to pay for your son's college than to walk away from the obligation to pay that mortgage. So here's what I'd do. I'd first pay your taxes. Call the tax agency and ask them, can they set you up on a payment plan so that you can get on track to pay it back, even if it's a small amount every month? Second, call your lender and commit to catch up on that one mortgage payment that you're behind. Third, stop borrowing and then get on a plan. Contact our Money Map coaches. They're standing there listening now saying, I hope she calls because we can stop this financial train wreck. It's not necessary. And if you will commit to a plan, you can come out of this.
Well, you know, we always want you to communicate, and I think that's one of the blessings as we step into our fears and begin to communicate with our lenders, with the taxing authorities. I think what you'll find is most lenders today don't want additional house in their other real estate properties because they have so many. So many of them will work with you and be flexible. And then let me also encourage you to go back to the crisis budget that we introduced several weeks ago. We'll have it on our website today. And just follow through those steps because you're in a place where you've been separated from your income and you really needed to develop a short-term plan to shore that up. And we'll walk you through the steps to do that.
Well, speaking of communication issues, Sharon, I think it's really good at this juncture to call the 19-year-old son into your home and say, son, here's the real picture. We're in a bind and we need your help. and we're not able to support your college education right now. Are there things that you can do to contribute to that education, or can you postpone it until we get out of this financial bind? And quite frankly, I think your son will appreciate that, will honor that, and will understand.
Well, he'll be a part of the community in solving the problem, and he'll own his education even more. And he really can contribute. He can work part-time while he's going to school, or if he finds that he can't continue a full load at school, he may need to work full-time and just go to school part-time. Either of those are possibilities.
Well, and one more tip. There's a lot of agencies out there that are offering help to restructure mortgages, and a website I would recommend would be makinghomeaffordable.gov. Be careful of all the scammers out there right now who are trying to do these, who are offering to do restructuring for you that are not legitimate, but this is a legitimate site, makinghomeaffordable.gov.
You know, that link, along with the crisis budget that we mentioned, all can be found on Crown's website at crown.org/radio. Let me give you another question, Chuck. This is from a woman in Jacksonville, Florida. Renee asks, my husband and I are trying to pay off our house in the next 3 years. That's so commendable, Renee. We owe approximately $98,000. Our current loan has a 6.4% interest rate. The bank sent us paperwork to refinance at a 4.5% or 5% interest rate. Should we consider refinancing to lower our interest rate or just maintain our current plan of prepaying monthly on the principal?
Renee, I'm going to give you a very direct answer. I would not refinance. I think the cost of refinancing is very unlikely to have any benefit over the next 3 years. So just stay focused and get the mortgage paid off. I think you're doing a great job.
You are, Renee. But if you or others want to check out refinancing options, we actually have a mortgage refinancing calculator on our website, and you can use it to evaluate, should I stay in the mortgage I'm in, or is this a good time to refinance? And again, we have that link at crown.org.
Well, today we're answering your questions on housing. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area. Or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps, and today we're taking your questions about housing and real estate, and there are so many issues today. And Colleen in Illinois wrote and asked, Dear Chuck, I'm in the beginning steps of your biblical financial study. Way to go. I'm very happy that you're doing that. And she says, I'm working on the personal financial statement. Here's my question. Is there a way to obtain the current market value of my home without incurring a cost to do so? Well, Sharon, you're a former banker. I'll bet you have a quick answer to that one.
Well, you know, there certainly is. Many of the realtors in your area will give you basically a market analysis that tells you what homes have sold for in your area. And it's not a full-blown appraisal. A bank won't accept it to refinance your loan, but it will give you an idea of how much your home is worth. On top of that, let me just address the assignment of the personal financial statement. The whole purpose of that assignment is for you really to assess, what do I have that God's given me? So it's not quite as critical that you get the exact dollar amount, but that you really have a clear understanding of the resources God's placed in your hands to manage.
Well, Sharon, those are great, and there are some other very easy ways and kind of fun ways to get a ballpark estimate of what your house may be worth. There are many online websites out there that will show comparable sales in your neighborhood. Zillow is one that I like to use. Are you familiar with Zillow?
I am. I use it often, too.
You can go online and see what your neighbor's house is worth.
Yeah.
I think it's for people who like like to snoop around, but Zillow's a very good site. But just remember, their information is based on prior sales, and it may not be current at all, especially if the market is dynamically changing right now. But it'll give you a ballpark. You can also call the county tax office where you pay your real estate tax. They have an appraisal of your home on record, and they'll tell you what they think it's worth. And typically, it's a little bit lower than market value. Or you can do what I've done before and find the neighbor that really knows everything about everybody else's home or business or what has been selling or not selling. And we have a couple of those that can tell me exactly what's going on. We had a foreclosure sell in our neighborhood just a few weeks ago, and we have a neighbor that knows exactly who bought it, what they paid for it, what happened, and what to expect from the new people that are moving in. So it's a really easy way, if there's somebody in your neighborhood, that you could just pick up the phone and say, what do you think our homes are worth right now?
You know, those are all really fun out-of-the-box ways, but I want to encourage you that if your home value is less than you hope it is, unless you're having to move right now, then the opportunity for those values to be restored is possible over time. So don't panic if your value ends up less than what you think it should be.
Well, and there's some good news. I recently read an article that said in 20 cities in America, home prices are beginning to go up. Boy, was I glad to hear that.
It's great to hear that encouragement.
Well, today we're answering listener email, and a person who wanted to remain anonymous in Tennessee writes, Dear Chuck, my husband is a retired 67-year-old drawing Social Security and working part-time in real estate. I'm 63, work full-time, and would like to retire in 3 years. We owe about $10,000 in credit card debt and $25,000 on a car and a boat. We also owe $100,000 on our first mortgage and $25,000 on our second mortgage. Our house is worth around $155,000. What should we concentrate on paying off first? And Sharon, listen to this. This is so transparent. And P.S., I know selling the boat may be part of your answer, but we couldn't get what we owe on it now, and we'd like to have it, since that's our form of entertainment. We need some guidance on how to work towards being debt-free before I retire in 3 years. How about that one?
Boy, I am so thankful that you are thinking about this 3 years ahead of time instead of right as you've stepped into retirement. And let me just encourage you to make sure that you have a plan before you stop working, that you may need to consider the length of time that you're going to be working in order to work out your plan.
Well, I love the honesty of this question. Basically, she's saying, help us get out of debt in 3 years and keep the boat. And, you know, there's really nothing wrong with having that boat as long as you can afford it. And I have a personal attitude towards possessions. It's not what you own that really matters to the Lord. It's what owns you. And as long as nothing owns you, you should be able to have things and possessions and enjoy them as you've expressed in your question to me. But here's what I see in your picture. You only have $25,000 in home equity, and that's a pretty big if, depending on how the market is in your area today. And with $35,000 in consumer debt, you actually have a negative net worth, unless you have money set aside in other accounts that you haven't talked about. And so I think it's far too aggressive to think you're not only going to be debt-free in 3 years, but also be prepared to retire. So at 63, I think it's more realistic to set a goal to get out of debt as soon as possible and then start accumulating a positive net worth. And the first thing to get out of debt is to get rid of the credit card debt. That's what I would consider junk debt. There's no good thing that comes out of having credit card debt. Second, at least get out of the car debt. And if you have to sell it and drive a car that's paid for, I'd recommend that. And then get rid of that boat debt. If you're going to keep the boat, do all you can to get rid of the debt on it so that it's not a boat anchor hanging around your neck as you try to retire. And then talk to your husband about your situation and see if there's some way you can continue to generate income into your retirement. Maybe you and your husband can work together full-time on a venture, but you're not going to be prepared unless you get rid of this debt and improve your net worth.
Well, and you know, we love for you to think about implementing the debt snowball in order to do that debt elimination. And the debt snowball is very simply you continue to make your required minimum payment on every debt you have, but attack that smallest debt first and put any extra income that you can towards that debt. And as soon as you pay off your smallest debt, take the payment you were making on it and roll it into your next smallest debt and continue on that pathway. And that's why we call it a snowball. It gains energy as you pay off each debt. And I think that would work for you.
Well, this next question is very common. Do we pay off the house or use the money to invest in something else? We're going to answer that question after the break. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps, and we're answering questions that come to our inbox. By the way, if you want to ask me a question anytime, chuckbentley@crown.org, and we will try to answer it on the air or personally off the air if we can. And there are always a lot of questions about whether it's best to pay off the house or to invest the money.
And, you know, Laura in Somerville, South Carolina says, I just inherited some investments of my parents and was wondering if it would be best to pay off our house or save the money for retirement. My husband and I are close to retirement and we don't have a lot of savings, so I'm fearful of paying off the house. The investments are making money right now, but I'm afraid of losing money in the unstable economy. What would you suggest?
Well, this is such a common question, and I want to give you some context because I read recently that the Social Security Administration said that the average 65-year-old homeowner in this country owes 22 years on their mortgage.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you do the math, there's absolutely no way people are going to get their homes paid for. So I think it's very important to pay for the house. The house is a place to live, and we so often get it out of order that we have little savings, we have a lot of house, and now we want to become investors. But the right order is to have 6 months of living expense in the bank first, to have a home that's paid for, to have a month of cash in your home in a fireproof box, money that you can actually get to that's not at risk in any way, and then to become an investor and to diversify your investments. So I obviously believe it's best to pay for the house and set aside more savings than it is to become an investor.
And, you know, since these are already in investments, I think you need to look at making an inside-out investment decision, and that is to prioritize according to those things that will accomplish your goals. And I think that will help you determine whether or not you liquidate the investments to fulfill your goals or if they actually are helping you fulfill your goals.
And I think that is so much more important to get it in that order.
Well, Chuck, we're taking the God Provides tour to Raleigh, North Carolina.
We are having a blast going on the road and getting out there and meeting with our listeners. Our Atlanta event was a great success. Our Chattanooga event was just an absolute blast. I personally had fun, didn't you, Sharon?
You know, it is so wonderful to actually meet listeners face-to-face and get to hear the stories of how God's working in their life.
Well, the amazing thing is when we show these films, they touch people's lives, whether they're 6 years old. I think that's been our youngest audience member, all the way up into their 80s. But the whole family has been coming out, and it has been so much fun, and I cannot wait to get to Raleigh, North Carolina. Give us some of the details, Sharon.
Well, if you are anywhere near Raleigh, we want you to join us on Thursday, March the 18th. We'll be at Providence Baptist Church. We start at 7 p.m., and we know it's a school night, so we'll end by 8:30. There's no charge to attend, but we would prefer you to register at crown.org to let us know you're coming and get the directions that you need to be there.
Well, you've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Thanks for joining us.